August 23rd, 2008, the Norris Group is hosting the event I Survived Real Estate 2008 at the Nixon Library in Yorba Linda, California. Proceeds from the event will benefit the Orange County affiliate of the Susan G. Komen for the Cure. The event seeks to bring together the real estate community, including realtors, auctioneers, investors, mortgage professionals, economists, data providers, and builders to discuss how we got here, how the respective industries are changing, and how we move forward and prosper together in 2008 and 2009. The event would not be possible without the generous help of the following partners: the San Diego Creative Investment Association and President Bill Tan, the Investors Workshops of Orange County and President Sean Watkins, Fry Wiles, the web development, internet marketing, and creative design firm, helping launch the event site isurvive2008.com, Proxibit, who will be airing the event live over the internet for those unable to attend live, the Nixon Library, our good friends at MVT Productions, who always take care of our audio-video needs, and White House Catering, whose master chef will be providing the three-course meal for this black tie event. The following radio interview is in preparation for the live event.
Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, this is Bruce Norris. Thank you for joining us. Our guest today is Scott Whaley. Scott was once the senior mentor coach for Tony Robbins. He's the founder of the Real Wealth Expo training events and a big supporter of the REI Club. Scott, welcome to our show.
Hi, Bruce. Thank you very much. I'm excited.
How long have you been holding the real estate, the Real Wealth Expo events?
Started in 2002. First one was Anaheim.
That's pretty good timing. Real estate had quite a run between 2002 and 2006. What was the attitude of the person that attended those events during that time? Did they view real estate kind of as a no-risk proposition?
I think they started getting caught up with it, and I think we saw it build from there. I think every year we were just kind of amazed at, I mean, we're all amazed at how much money everybody was making, and it more people climbed on board, and sometimes we were pinching ourselves wondering how long can this go on, but it kept going.
Yeah, it went on and went on, and I think the longer it went on, maybe the less risk everyone thought they were taking on. Have you noticed a change in the attendees' attitude over the last year or so?
Absolutely. I think it's a change in the ones that, the people who are easily, you know, they go along with whatever the media tells them, there's less of those people.
Okay, so the crowd has changed in type.
Yeah, our sophistication level is growing for the people who are still here. They're better as far as skill level and as far as, I think, frankly, being a little bit more grounded in reality as far as, like, what is this business? Is this a get-rich-quick scheme or something? That mentality is if it's not all gone, it sure has gotten muted.
It's headed there. You know, in a way, that's a good thing, because really the events that you hold and the career that I've experienced, it really isn't about getting wealthy quick, but it is getting wealthy for sure over a period of time. So, you know, in your experience in the last year or so, have the numbers gone down, just the numbers of attendees? Is it there are less people showing up for anything connected to real estate?
There's definitely overall, yes.
Okay, but the quality of the attendee has actually probably improved, if you will.
I think so. I think we're culling away basically the people who don't have the right, or the weak people, as far as serious about the business, committed, and realizing like that it's not get rich quick, that it's an actual business.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you have an expo, you have a really wide range of people's training where their experience is different. I'm a buy-sell guy. You've got Bill Gatton, who does a trust. What have you seen work in this market, in the last year, where people are responding back to you, people that have attended and said, you know, this is working for us?
Definitely short sales. And the short sales is hot, and it actually is working. It's probably not as easy money as people were hoping, and I still think the reality of you know what to expect profit wise is still coming in line when we had those ridiculous numbers like, hey, I bought a property and it went up $150,000 in a year last year. That, you know,
the number is still accurate. It's just has a negative sign in front of it.
Absolutely. You know, now people are going like, if it's just a black number, that makes me happy.
You know, we just bought a short sale property today, as a matter of fact. We paid $90,000 for a property that the lender was owed $365 on.
Wow.
And that is not uncommon. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to ask you, you didn't normally used to do short sales before, did you?
Actually, I was not connected with this short sale process at all. It was listed by a broker who knew that we were buyers, so they contacted us, and we made an offer. So, no, we're not involved in short sales. The process, no. Buying the properties at the end of the process, yeah, we will be. We are getting involved in that. Just because our name's out there, I guess, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing.
Absolutely. And I guess that kind of points out the idea of it, maybe what the focus is for the expos is that for professionals, if you're a professional at this business, whatever the business, is that means you're always learning. And you don't get married to one strategy, because then when that strategy stops working, like buy and hold was great from, you know, 2000 to 2005. But buy and hold would get you killed if you did it from 2005. And I guess my point is that for the people who can keep learning and keep getting better by going to your events or our events or whatever, it's a fantastic business if you just keep getting better and realizing that strategies do change depending upon market conditions.
You know, the other thing that really comes into play, especially in a downturn, is your mental approach to negative things. Because this month, let's say, we bought 20 houses. On the lender side of it, they were owed $6.7 million. We paid $2.1 million for that inventory. So in a declining market, I have to be careful as a buy-sell guy, but I look at this as the opportunity of a lifetime.
Absolutely. I mean, you know that I used to work for the RTC, and for those people out there who are old enough, you know, that was the Resolution Trust Corporation. That was the cleanup crew, if you will, set up by the government to clean up the S&Ls and all the properties.
Yeah.
And the psychology that is aligned with dumping properties and from institutions is, you're absolutely right, it sets up an opportunity for people who are in the right mindset.
Yes, and once again, you really have to be independently educated and be able to make decisions that seem to be contrarian. Because if you just follow the crowd or follow the news, you'd be huddled in a corner and say, that's it for real estate.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's why it's so critical to whether expos or yourself. It's like there are people who've demonstrated over time that they've made a ton of money in down markets.
Mm-hmm.
There are strategies that have been demonstrated over time that make a ton of money in down markets. And it's just you've got to make sure that, A, you know which ones those are, B, get good at them, and C, if you want to shortcut the process, find somebody like we're talking about who's doing it. And it really isn't a question to me. It's just a matter of, you know, can you adapt, can you learn, and can you have the mental discipline not to get caught up in the sky is falling Chicken Little.
Well, you know what's interesting about when you're in the education business, you realize that what you're providing for people is a blueprint that's really a fast process. They could figure this out on their own, but I've been in the business now 28 years. So let's assume that somebody's three times as quick as I am. It still would take them 9 years to figure this stuff out.
Absolutely. Well, and I think the other thing is it's the flip side. We can make so much money in this business on one deal and still... Because if you find that one motivated seller, that one institution, the money is still huge here compared to anything else out there. But unfortunately, I think people forget the value of not making a mistake.
Oh, that's a big statement. That really is. I think that when I take phone calls from investors in the last year, it's mostly been about damage control, not positive progress, but reducing the negative impact of what they may have been doing that was too aggressive. That's a good point.
Absolutely, and I've seen the same thing. And because they didn't educate themselves, they didn't do they put their trust in someone versus putting their trust in their own ability to learn. Absolutely, and I'm seeing that so much. And unfortunately, you could get away with that so much easier in 2002 to 2005 when things are all rising. It's like all the sins were forgiven because
Absolutely.
Everybody was... Yeah.
You never had to pay for any mistake. You got bailed out.
Yeah, this is an unforgiving market now, and I think that's why the training and the psychology is so much more important now versus you could actually not really do much in the way of strategy or psychology or anything else 2 years ago.
Right.
Years ago.
You just had to have your name on a grant deed, and everything would work out fine.
You were a genius investor.
I've heard this. Now, I don't ski, but there's something called a black diamond run.
Uh-huh.
That's the hard, really hard ski runs. That's what we're in right now. This is the double black diamond run of real estate. Now, for the skier that's excellent, there's nothing like a double black diamond run because that is thrilling. And in essence, that's what's going on right now for people that know how to cope with this downturn is that we are looking to have the time of our life.
Absolutely.
And I think this is going to probably run out for two or three years, and we're just going to see these prices they already cash flow. I don't know if I've ever been able to say I bought 20 properties in California in 1 month that would cash flow.
And they're cash flowing now.
Oh, yeah. No,
we
paid an average of $107,000 for something the lenders were owed $360,000 for. And the rents on them would be $1,350 if I did nothing else but put a Section 8 renter in there.
And I'd like to kind of reiterate what you just said. If I'd said to you, in 2 years, you're going to be buying 20 properties that cash flow in California, even you, because I know you predicted the market, but even you would have raised an eyebrow at me, wouldn't you?
Sure. Yeah. No one could have anticipated that this was going to get the fast forward button pushed on it. This is the thing that's probably the most damaging is the acceleration. The lenders, when we talk about investors having made mistakes, the lenders who decided, no, we don't want to get anything less than we're owed when they listed the property a year and a half ago, we watched their declines of listing prices, and it's just unbelievable, Scott. You've got listings that started at 319 that have never gone pending and now are at 119. They literally never got it. They just kept chasing the market down, and that means all of the inventory that they own. We're talking about lenders taking 250 grand hits on a 360 loan over and over again. No wonder you have some problem lenders. I don't think their margin was quite that big.
Well, I think the point that you've been, you know, it's, I'm sure you're going, sometimes you must kind of like tell yourself, like, what do I need to do to get through to everybody? Because you've been right so for quite some time now. And, I mean, it's not like you were a one-shot wonder as far as predicting markets. You've been doing this for, I don't know, how many years since you made the prediction?
Yeah, it's been a couple of turns. And, you know, I never get arrogant about that because I am always in disagreement with very, very bright people. So I sit there and I go, okay, what am I missing? I mean, I'm more inclined to study more than sit on my laurels and go, well, you know, I'm right. I really do. I look at all the stuff and go, okay, what are they seeing that I'm not seeing? So I really constantly try. And, you know, when I write a document, it's pretty much a done deal in my head. In other words, I feel like I've researched everything I need to, and then I'm putting it in writing for everyone to stare at for forever. So I can't escape what I said. So I tell you, when I put the word crash on that report, I really gave that some thought because of our reputation and because I thought people would really take it seriously. And if it was wrong, they would make some serious mistakes. And I really didn't like that idea if I was wrong. And if I was right, I wanted that word to be there. So it was a warning that this could really be ugly. And man, it is ugly. It really is.
I'd like to reiterate one thing. The people who bought at the bottom of the last crash, or just like when we did the RTC, those people, we've been here long enough. That's the job. We've been here long enough where those people have made out, and they've made their whole financial futures by being smart enough to buy one or two really great properties because they looked at a lot of them, and they were patient, and they were smart, and they learned. And they made their whole financial future in that time period when they had the fire sale.
Absolutely. I mean, there were billionaires created in the RTC stuff. Absolutely.
So. I saw them. I watched them do it, and we're seeing the very same thing, except it's a lot more opportunity because we've got a lot more properties, frankly.
Yeah, I think this is a little bit broader spectrum. I know you're working on a new project called the Real Wealth Revolution. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about that and how that applies to the education side of what we're doing.
Well, one of the things, as we mentioned, is we master the strategies. There's all the knowledge out there about what to do, and people look at it and they go, great, here's step one, step two, step three, and you've mastered that and teach so many people that. And then the other side of it, though, and what I've noticed from the expos and watching trainings in any field, is typically what we say is there's 20% is strategy, 80% is the psychology, the application and being able to do it step by step over and over till you get the results.
Absolutely.
And so to do that, to do the result, to do the steps, in spite of whatever the environment is telling you, when your loved ones, the economy, everything, to do those steps over and over again takes a certain psychology. And it's not the psychology that most people have, frankly.
No. People give up so quickly. They really do. They're not mentally tough. And I don't know, and maybe they don't believe the path that somebody's sent them on. In our training, we've talked to people about making offers through the MLS, and frankly, it was a discouraging process for us for the first 4 or 5 months this year. And then all of a sudden, we won. We had name recognition, and our offer started getting accepted left and right. But that mental process, you're right, it takes out almost 80% of the people before they ever buy a house.
And that's what our focus on in the revolution is. The challenge for everybody is not the same. Some people have a belief like about what this is about. Some people have a belief in their limitations are. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough knowledge. I don't have whatever.
Yeah, and that's not even connected to the investment, is it? It's connected to what's inside their head.
Exactly. Those are the resources that they put outside of themselves that say, hey, this is going to stop me. But the truth is that's just a story that they tell themselves so they don't have to give their all or go do it. And it's not always the same for everyone. That's the challenge. Is some people who break through, they say, well, this is the way I did it now. This is the way you need to do it.
You know, that's a great point. Whenever you see an athlete, I remember I got beat by a guy. I played a good game of racquetball when I played a lot. And I got beat by this guy, and then we went into the locker room, and we were getting changed. I noticed he took the lower portion of his leg off, and I was just stunned. And I kind of got to know the guy, and years later, I asked him, I said, what happened? And I said, I've noticed your life hasn't skipped a beat. I said, how did you come to that conclusion? He said, and when I was laying there, I could look through my mangled leg, and I knew I was going to lose it. He said, I just made a commitment. It wasn't going to change anything. And I said, how did you know you were really going to be able to pull that off? He said, when I was running a wind sprint for a football team and it fell off at about the 50-yard line. So I think one of the most important things people can do for themselves as an investor is hang around people that are doing it, that have an attitude that's working for them.
Absolutely. I think there's several different keys that we focus on because when we do the revolution, we get people to look at all the different elements because you can be doing every single element right, but just for, like you mentioned, like doing the offers to the MLS. If you do every other part of the whole system correctly, but you leave out and go, and you never realize, hey, I'm not making the offers or I'm not doing that well.
Absolutely.
Then you don't know where to apply all that drive and all that focus because you're going like, wow, I've got this great vision. I'm motivated. I'm flexible. But you're missing it,
mm-hmm.
And that's where the coaching and an outside viewpoint, because you can look, right, let me ask you this, you can tell if somebody walks in and they're struggling investing and you say, well, tell me what you're doing, you could probably diagnose what they're doing, leaving out or not doing well in just a few questions.
Sure, absolutely.
And that's what we do with the psychology side of it. Is like, okay, with a few questions, with a little bit of coaching, it's like, okay, what's the missing piece? And then, just as you do, we test it. We don't assume anything. We test it. We make sure. It's like, oh, that was it. Or, oh, maybe we need to tweak it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're always tweaking your strategies right now as a professional.
Sure. It's constantly necessary. You know, let's talk about the psychology of something else, because I think I can see a market shift, and I really don't like what I'm looking at. I see a lot of... they're looking for blame. They're looking for a group to blame, and they've basically said, "Okay, let's blame the speculators." And I think, unfortunately, under that umbrella, the word investor is synonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see some of that going on?
Absolutely. I think it's a what we do in our own personal lives. It's sort of a microcosm taken into the is personal lives is a microcosm of what's going on in the whole society or political, which is most people are going to say, it's not me, it's not thee, it's that person over there behind the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And that right now, no one's really, there's very few people telling the truth. I know we've had these other conversations where, like, what's the solution? And I don't think we're having an honest, non-political, how do we fix this and just get on down the road solution conversation yet in the media.
You know, what's interesting, I just started looking at some statistics, and, you know, I'm always doing that, and sometimes you combine different stats and you never did it before. We got up to about 70%, a little under 70% of the households owned a home in the country. And the normal percentage is more like 64%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's a given that the financing world is changing, becoming more conservative. So we're headed back down to that more normal percentage, which literally means 10% of the entire inventory of the country will be vacated by its current owner. 10%. And at that same time, the lenders have decided that maybe the speculator is to blame, so they've reined in the loan programs we're capable of getting.
Absolutely.
That's a very serious problem.
And it's exactly... It's sad, but it's exactly what we went through right for the RTC. I mean, I saw the deals and talked to the investors. Then it was like, I've got a good deal. I don't know why they're calling my lines of credit. This doesn't make any sense. I never dreamed this would happen. And the bankers are going, sorry, we just don't want to do real estate loans.
That's right. It's a category that goes out of favor. I think that's the term I've heard.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and they just, I believe I just saw it today, countrywide. They're not going to guarantee them, or the government was not going to do it. And they're doing it's ironic. The government almost always does the wrong thing, the right thing at the wrong time.
Exactly. No, they get very aggressive when they should have reined it in, and now they're reining it in exactly when we need some aggression, at least in the right category. And I think that's a dangerous trend. We only have a couple more minutes. Scott, what are some of the rules or laws that you've seen being implemented or at least are on their way to implementation that you think will really have a negative impact on investors?
Well, first of all, just because we have so much short time, is we're going to post something on two sites. One is Real Wealth Online,
okay,
which is one of my new sites, and that's going to be focused on the investor and our events. But we're going to post some stuff from a friend of yours, Kurt. You know Kurt?
Yeah.
And so on the legislative here in California, and also in, there's another site called nationalrea.com, nationalreia.com, and click on legislative. And on both of those, you're going to see postings about some of the laws that I know we've talked, it would make your head spin. And I'm not even being facetious on that. Things you wouldn't believe that the politicians are doing right now. And not because, I think more out of a sense that, hey, we got to do something.
Exactly. They're pointing the wrong finger, though, that's for sure.
Exactly. And what they do, they're political creatures. They want to get reelected. What do I have to do? I have to be seen doing something. And they don't understand our business.
No. No, it's very dangerous, the attitude that, okay, we've got a giant mess, let's blame somebody and then enact legislation. Because if it implements, like Texas, you can't do a lease option. What sense does that make?
Absolutely. And by the way, that's not even close to some of the
other ones.
The most ridiculous ones.
I know that in Washington, I think that they just had a rule where you had to be licensed to do it, to buy and sell something.
How would you like this? How would you like to have to be licensed, a licensed contractor, to do more than paint your door in your house?
In your house?
In your house, not an investment house.
Wow.
You've got that already in several states.
Wow. They've lost control, that's for sure.
Yep.
Well, Scott, our time has run out, but I've enjoyed this and look forward to speaking at the Real Wealth Expos in the future. Is that the best way to contact you, is through the websites?
Yeah, the best one is Real Wealth Online or realwealthexpo.com. We're actually doing some transitioning on our sites, but the Real Wealth sites is the best way. People can always call me, or email me, Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at Real Wealth Expo or realwealthseminars.com. And by the way, I'm on the anything with legislative too, we want to help out too, because unfortunately we're not organized in that, and we're kind of all just for the benefit of us as a community.
Absolutely.
We need to do something there.
Very important. Okay, Scott, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Bruce. Take care.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.